Welcome to the Federalist Society's Practice Group podcast. The following podcast, hosted by the Federalist Society's Civil Rights Practice Group, was recorded on Wednesday, December 10th, 2014, during a live telephone conference call held exclusively for Federalist Society members. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Federalist Society's Practice Group telephone conference call on the possible resurgence of the Akaka Bill. My name is Christian Corrigan, and I'm the Director of Publications here at the Federalist Society. As always, please note that all expressions of opinion are those of the expert on today's call, and also that this call is being recorded for use as a podcast in the future. Today, we're pleased to welcome Hans A. von Spakovsky, who is the manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative and a senior legal fellow at the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. He is also the author of a new book, his newest book, which is co-authored with John Fund, titled Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. It's available at bookstores and on Amazon.com. So if you're looking for a stocking stuffer just ahead of the holidays, there's an option for you right there. So I'll stop there and preserve more time for his presentation, followed by your questions. So without any more ado, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and welcome to the listeners and others of the Federalist Society. The Akaka Bill, which was mentioned, was a bill that for about a decade, Senator Daniel Akaka and former U.S. Senator Daniel Inouye, both of Hawaii, tried unsuccessfully to get Congress to pass. The Native Hawaiian Recognition Act would have provided recognition, basically, of Native Hawaiians and put them in the same category as a American Indian tribe. That never passed Congress, and what has happened recently to kind of revive it is that the administration of Barack Obama appears to be setting the steps to do what Congress refused to do, which seems to be a habit with this administration. On June 20th of this year, the Department of the Interior published an advanced notice of proposed rulemaking. Public comments were due to be filed by August 19th. And what this proposed rulemaking of the Department of Interior says is that it sought comments on five questions. And the main question was whether the Department of the Interior should implement a rule reestablishing what it called, quote, a government-to-government relationship with the Native Hawaiian community. The proposed rulemaking also asked whether the Department of the Interior should assist the Native Hawaiian community in, quote, reorganizing its government, and also what process should be established for drafting and ratifying a reorganized Native Hawaiian government's constitution or other governing document. So when you get away from the government speak, as some people like to refer to it, of this very formal proposed rulemaking, in essence, it appears as if the administration wants to, through executive order, through the executive process, put the Akaka Bill in place by recognizing Native Hawaiians as essentially an Indian tribe and having them reorganize Native Hawaiian government. The problem with this is that it is both unconstitutional and bad public policy. Let's talk about the legal issues first. Native Hawaiians have never been recognized by Congress as an Indian tribe, and under our Constitution, the president has no authority to do that. That power is given entirely over to Congress. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the Constitution provides that Congress has the power to regulate commerce with the Indian tribes. That particular clause is what has been used by Congress as its authority for all actions that it has taken with regard to American Indians. This has been criticized, this attempt has been criticized on many occasions. And what's most interesting about it, I think, is that as recently as a little more than a year ago, the Obama administration itself agreed that it did not have the constitutional authority to recognize Native Hawaiians as an Indian tribe. In fact, in March of 2013, the head of Indian Affairs at the Department of Interior, Assistant Secretary Kevin Washburn, was actually testifying in front of the House Subcommittee on Indian and Alaskan Native Affairs, and he was asked specifically about this issue, and he said that the Interior Department did not have the authority to recognize Native Hawaiians. In fact, he said that the administration would need, I'm quoting him here, would need legislation to be able to proceed down that road. Yet now, all of a sudden, the Department of Interior is proceeding down the very road that it said it didn't have the authority to do it. We find the same thing from the U.S. Department of Justice. The U.S. Department of Justice in 2007, one of its leading officials testified in front of Congress at that time, talking about the Akaka bill, and the testimony was from the Principal Deputy Associate Attorney General. And one of the things he talked about there was that the creation of a separate governing body for Native Hawaiians would be subject to strict scrutiny, and almost surely it would violate the equal protection guarantees of the Fifth Amendment, because it would single persons out for different treatment based on their ancestry and race. The former Attorney General of Hawaii has also voiced his opinion about this, saying what the Department of Interior wants to do is unconstitutional, because only Congress has the power to recognize tribes and ratify treaties. And he also added that there was never a Hawaiian tribe with whom the U.S. had a treaty relationship, which is very different from the situation with American Indians. And that this is important because the Supreme Court has held that a tribe is a political and not a racial entity. It's very interesting when you look through this proposed rulemaking, because despite pages and pages about the history of the relationship of Hawaii with the United States, really there isn't anywhere where the Interior Department cites the legal authority it would have for what it is proposing to do. And that's, of course, because there is no such legal authority. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights has weighed in on this. They actually held hearings back in 2006 when the Akaka bill was being considered in the United States Senate. And they were highly critical of that because of the fact that they said that Hawaii was already, as they said, in a league by itself when it came to officially sanctioned discriminatory conduct. And they recommended against the Akaka bill because they said, quote, any other legislation that would discriminate on the basis of race or national origin and further subdivide the American people into discrete subgroups accorded varying degrees of privilege was both unwise and unconstitutional. A similar letter was sent last year when reports first started surfacing that the administration was perhaps going to attempt to implement the Akaka bill through executive action, when four members of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission sent a letter basically saying that similar executive action would be at least as unwise and as unconstitutional. They pointed out that even Congress doesn't have the power to create an Indian tribe. And they don't have the power to reconstitute a tribe or any other sovereign entity that has ceased to exist as a polity in the past. This is an important issue because there's no Native Hawaiian entity, let alone a governing body of Native Hawaiians. The Kingdom of Hawaii was a multiracial society in which the royal family had intermarried with British and American immigrants. And when they became a territory of the United States in 1990, basically the sovereign and governing body of Hawaii disappeared. I mean, there is no native Hawaiian government that exercises inherent sovereignty, authority with which the Interior could establish a relationship because, as the Civil Rights Commissioner said, it's an extinguished government and therefore no government at all. Something else that I think should, frankly, horrify people is that the way this type of executive action and what's being done in Hawaii would recognize whether or not someone is quote-unquote a native Hawaiian is through a blood quantum test. The test currently in Hawaii is any descendant of not less than one half part of the blood of races inhabiting the Hawaiian Islands previous to 1778. Commissioner Pete Kersenow of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights has written that this definition of Native Hawaiians is similar to the, quote, the odious one-drop rule contained in the racial segregation codes of the 19th and early 20th centuries. In a U.S. Supreme Court decision, Justice John Paul Stevens, who's now retired but a liberal stalwart of the court, pointed out that if a government is going to make a serious effort to define racial classes by this type of criteria, it would have to study such appalling precedents as the first regulation of the Reich's citizenship law of 1935, which defined Jews based on their blood quantum ancestry. Stevens had a great quote about this, which he said, quote, the very attempt to define with precision a beneficiary's qualifying racial characteristics is repugnant to our constitutional ideals. And yet that is the kind of thing that the administration is proposing to do. The U.S. Supreme Court has on several occasions found the conduct of Hawaii discriminatory when it comes to this issue. For example, in a case called Rice versus Cayetano in 2000, it held that a provision of the Hawaii Constitution that limited the right to vote for trustees of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs only to Native Hawaiians was a violation of the 15th Amendment. Hawaii, in that case, tried to claim that the restriction wasn't racial, but was based on ancestry. The court still threw it out, saying that ancestry is a proxy for race, and that that is a forbidden classification, as it should be. Similarly, in a later case, Araki versus Hawaii, the Ninth Circuit subsequently held that a requirement that the candidates for election as trustees of that same office be Native Hawaiians also violated the 15th Amendment and Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. These are all important issues to keep in mind. These kind of arbitrary race-based, ancestry-based classifications are really, I think, anathema to the Constitution and the way we function as a country. One of the other things that the Civil Rights Commission said about this, which bears thought, is the fact that if the administration believes it can create a tribe in this manner, well, then it could create a tribe out of Cajuns, for example. I mean, they are an identifiable ethnic group in Louisiana. They've had a continuous presence there for over 200 years. Similarly, they could create a tribe out of the Amish of Pennsylvania or Hasidic Jews in New York. As the commissioner said, both of those groups have far more separation from mainstream society. They have much lower rates of intermarriage, and they have all-encompassing rules governing their lives and the lives of their members to a much greater extent than do Native Hawaiians. Yet any attempt to do something like that, I think most people would consider to be pretty absurd. The final thing I'd like to say about this is to quote someone who has spoken a lot about this, and this is the president of the Grassroots Institute of Hawaii, Kalia Akina. And what he said is that the support simply isn't there for the creation of this kind of divisive race-based government. And most importantly, it runs counter to the spirit and history of the islands. And that is very much true. Hawaii is very much a multiracial society. It's a melting pot of citizens of many different racial, ethnic, and national origins. When the vote was held as to whether or not Hawaii should become a state, the percentage of Hawaiians who voted in favor of that was upwards of, I think, over 94%. It was very clear at the time that Hawaiians did not want to establish separatist enclaves, that they rejected the kind of tribal enclaves in Hawaii that were being considered in places like Alaska, which became a state at the same time. This kind of balkanization of Hawaii is the complete antithesis of the state's historical and cultural experience. So it's bad policy in addition to being unconstitutional. So I'd be happy to answer questions about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that great presentation. So, yeah, we'll move on to your questions. In a moment, you'll hear a prompt that will say the floor mode is on. And after that, to request the floor, enter star and then the pound key. So, again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star and then the pound key. Like everyone's a little bit slower on the trigger. Just while we're waiting for our first question, do you have any guesses or any idea as to what the congressional support for this idea, is at this point?
I think it has, in fact, gotten. The support for recognizing Native Hawaiians as an Indian tribe has actually, I believe, gone down over the past decade, I think, as people have realized the implications of it. In fact, with regard to this particular proposed rulemaking, there was actually a letter sent to the Department of the Interior by Senators Lamar Alexander, Tom Coburn, Jeff Flake, and Mike Lee of Utah, highly criticizing it, saying that not only is it unconstitutional because the administration doesn't have the power to do it, but they actually had an interesting quote in it. They say it epitomizes the type of arbitrary race-based classification that the Supreme Court has found anathema to the Constitution. And so they were very much against it, and I don't think it has much chance of getting through Congress. I think that particularly explains why the administration is trying to do through executive action what Congress refuses to do.
All right. Well, if you'd like to ask a question, press star and then the pound key. Well, it looks like we have a relatively quiet audience today.
Well, I will mention one other thing, and I should have said this in the presentation, and that is that I think probably to their great surprise, the administration encountered a lot of very vocal public opposition to this. In addition to requesting public comment on the proposed regulations, the Interior Department actually held a series of meetings in Hawaii, public hearings at which residents of Hawaii could show up and testify and tell the Interior Department what they thought about it. And the newspaper descriptions of what happened there were quite something. Many of the Native Hawaiians who testified were indignant. They were outraged that the federal government wanted to insert itself into this. the chairwoman of the State Office of Hawaiian Affairs, a woman called Colette Mercado, who testified at one of the hearings in favor of what the Department of Interior wanted to do, was booed and loudly protested as she tried to give her testimony in favor of what the Department of the Interior does. The Honolulu Star Advertiser, which is, of course, one of the main newspapers out there, actually ran an online poll. Now, obviously, there are problems with online polls. They are, not as accurate as a regular poll, but it's interesting to note that in that online poll, an overwhelming percent of the respondents, 67%, were very much not in favor of what the Department of Interior and the Obama administration is proposing to do.
All right. Well, again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star and the pound key. One quick programming note. Tomorrow, December 11th at 12 p.m., the Federal Society's Criminal Law and Procedure Practice Group is hosting a luncheon event at the National Press Club on the criminalization of politics. It'll be moderated by Hans's colleague at the Heritage Foundation, John Malcolm, and also featuring Todd Graves, Edward Kang, and John Richter. And again, that's tomorrow at noon at the National Press Club, and you can register for that event, which is free, online at our website. And then for those of you interested in our next scheduled teleforum, it is December 12th at 1 p.m. On the Telephone Consumer Protection Act reform. And again, that is December 12th at 1 p.m. Well, it looks like we've got a pretty quiet audience and no questions. Anything else that you want to cover before we wrap things up?
No, the one thing I would tell folks is that if they're interested in a written publication about this that kind of summarizes the arguments that I've made, that we actually have one. It's at the Heritage Foundation website. It's a legal memorandum about this proposed regulation and the many problems with it. It's called, the title is The Obama Administration's Attempt to Balkanize Hawaii. And if they go to the Heritage website and put that title in, they can pull up this legal memo and either download it or print it out.
Fantastic. Well, on behalf of the Federal Society and our Civil Rights Practice Group, I want to thank the audience for joining us today. Also, don't forget that Hans von Spakovsky's book, Obama's Enforcer, is available now. And you can get that at bookstores and Amazon.com. And until next time, we're adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this Practice Group podcast. For materials related to this podcast and other Federalist Society multimedia, please visit the Federalist Society's website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.